We're continuing with Pirkei Avot, the first chapter, the eighth Mishnah. Yehuda ben Tabai veShimon ben Shatach kibelu mehem. So the next pair in Jewish tradition, the next two leaders were Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shatach. They received their tradition from their predecessors, Yoshua ben Prachya and Itai Harbeni. Yehuda ben Tabai omer. So Yehuda ben Tabai used to say, Al ta'as atzmecha ke'orechei hadayanim. Don't make yourself like Orchei HaDayanim. So in modern Hebrew, Orech Din is a lawyer. Orchei HaDayanim, we will translate literally to mean those that set up the judges. Orech means to set up, like to set up a table. And Dayan is a judge. And we'll wait to see how the Rabbein Yonah interprets the words. Uksheyu balei adin omedin nefanecha. And when the two people who have a court case are standing before you, Yiyu ve'inecha kirshayim. You should look at them both as though they're evil. So you anticipate that either one could really be lying to you. You can't assume either one is telling the truth initially. Uchshenifterin milfanecha, but when they leave you, yiyu ve'inecha kitzadikim. You should view them as righteous people. Keshekiblu aleihem et hadin. When they accepted your ruling, so then you shouldn't keep thinking, this guy was really a cheapskate. He was cheating his partner. You should find a way to view them both as righteous people, even if you ruled against one of them. So, Rabbein Yonah writes, Yehuda ben Tabai v'Shimon Shadach kiblu mehem, Yoshua ben Parchia v'Nitai Arbeni, as we explained, they received their tradition from the two previous Tanoim, Yoshua ben Parchia and Nitai Arbeni. Yehuda ben Tabai omer, Al ta'as atzmecha ke'orchei hadayanim. Lo diber bekan b'mi shemlamed ta'anot sheshekel chavero v'liton ben. He is not talking about someone who teaches his friend to lie and make good claims in court. That's not what we're talking about. Ki en adam ze rasha gamuru, ki adam ze rasha gamuru, I'm sorry, because such a person is completely wicked. Ve'lo tzach lomar ki en adam nasot ken. Well, the word orech din means you're setting up the thoughts of the judge. So one could understand that you're teaching the plaintiff how to lie and make claims. What does that mean? You're telling him how to set up his case, even though it's a lie. So that's not what we're talking about, because that's a completely wicked person, says the Rabbeinu Yonah. And obviously you don't have to say that. Obviously, if a person's that type of person, people will suspect him and speak badly about him. That's a terrible sin. So that's obvious. So here we see that Rabbeinu Yonah's approach to Pirkei Avos is that the Mishnayos are not coming to tell you that which is an overt sin. If it's overtly sinful, I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that. Obviously, you're not supposed to do things that are dishonest. Ela shes mesadol otanotav orech lefanav adinin umgale liyachid dino. What we're talking about here, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, is where a person helps him set up his just claims. He tells him, here, you should present your case this way. And he tells him how to present things during the trial. And he tells him where he thinks, how he thinks the ruling is going to play itself out. She'eino ro'i la'asotken, that even though technically that's okay, you didn't tell him to lie, you just showed him how to set up his case, but you still shouldn't do it, ki yachshedu v'yidabu alav ra, because people will still suspect him and speak badly about him. Now, uchahu ma'aseh Rav Yochanan memsechet ketubot, like the story of Rav Yochanan in Tractate Ketubos. There's a story of Rav Yochanan. The story goes as follows. When a widow is collecting what her deceased husband owes her in the ksuba, so the halacha says that medical treatment that is finite, that's not covered by the ksuba. Medical treatment is like mizonos. The medical treatment that has to be covered is like the food that has to be covered. Where a person eats every day and there isn't a specific cost every day for your sandwich. This day you eat this day you eat that. There's a steady stream of food that a person has running through his house. And so too, the medical treatment that a husband owes his wife post-mortem that they take out of the ksuba is a medical treatment that it does not have a set price. But let's say the woman needs something specific. Let's say the woman, she needs a specific operation that's going to cost 2 million shekel. So then the orphans can tell the widow, we're sorry, ma'am, we don't owe you from your late husband's ksuba. What your late husband left was a provision to take care of your basic daily sustenance. And included in that is basic daily medical care. Extraordinary medical care, we don't have to cover that from the ksuba money. Remember, every penny you're giving the widow is being taken from the orphans. So there is a tug of war that the halacha has to define how much does she get and how much not. And basically it goes back to the original agreement when the couple got married. So stipulated in the original ksuba is that post-mortem she gets alimony, she gets a payment for her necessary for her meals during an average day, and she also gets a payment for medical treatment that isn't defined. That's considered part of her living expenses. But if there's a specific medical expense that has a specific cost, that's not covered. So Rav Yochanan's relatives, he had nephews who were orphans. They weren't nephews. There were some relative of his who the father passed away. And the mother kept going to the doctor. Every day she'd go for another issue. And it was drying up the well of money that was left to feed the orphans. So the orphans came to him and they asked him for advice. So Rav Yochanan said, here's what you do. Go find the doctor who's willing to take her on for a lump sum. That this doctor will take care of her till the day she dies for a lump sum. Once you've done that, then halachically it becomes an expense, a lump sum expense. You define the expense. And then you guys won't have to cover it from the ksuba. Until now, every day she'd go to the doctor. Every day she'd have something else that was bothering her. Every day they'd have to pay for it. So in order to protect the orphans, he gave them this advice. They did it. And then Rav Yochanan regretted it. So the Gemara says, why did Rav Yochanan regret it? Rav Yochanan said, initially I thought there's a pasuk that says, "Umipsachal titalam." You owe it to your own relatives to be there for them. Aside from the charity you do for everyone else, you have a special charity you owe your own relatives. So I thought, I'll give them good advice. I owe it to the orphans that are my relatives to give them good advice, how to help them. But then afterwards he thought to himself and he said, boy, I became like an orech din. What our Mishnah says, I told them how to set up their case so that they will win in court. And they did win in court. Well, our Mishnah says you shouldn't do that. So even though technically, halachically, he didn't cheat anyone, he just taught them a smart way to ensure that they'd be protected. The Mishnah says, yeah, but what are people going to say? The rabbi's on his side, all the rabbis are together, they're all playing games, this one smears the other one. You see, if you have a rabbi who gives you good advice, then you can even outsmart a widow. Rav Yochanan said, what did I do? Right, I thought I'm helping the orphans and I owe it to my relatives to help them. No, there's an area where you're not supposed to get involved, which is justice. Let the courts rule with justice. And me, as their relative, I shouldn't have given them advice how to set up the case so that they'd win. So that's this Mishnah. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah quotes here. That it's not right that a person should tell someone how to set up his case so that he will win. Because even if technically he didn't do anything that's halachically wrong, but practically people are going to talk. And it doesn't look nice. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says, ki yachshedu, people will suspect him. People don't know the intricacies of how the halacha is set up. What people see is if the rabbi gave you advice, you win your court case. So that's what Torah is all about. V'idabu al avra, people will speak badly about him. And that's the story of Rav Yochanan de Meikara Savar. Initially, Rav Yochanan thought, umibsacha lo titalam, that he has a responsibility not to ignore his own relatives. Ulvasov Savar Adam Chashuv Shani. And ultimately, he said to himself, but I'm the chief rabbi of Israel. And as the chief rabbi, I have to be extra careful not to do something that people will say is not nice. Technically, it wasn't wrong. But halachically, I'm still the chief rabbi. Rav Yochanan was the one who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. He was the chief rabbi of all of Israel. So Rav Yochanan says, I shouldn't have gotten involved in such a case. I shouldn't have been the one to give them such advice. And so Rav Yochanan regretted it. He said he made a mistake. Now it turns out, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that our Mishnah is speaking specifically to the top rabbis. meaning someone like Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says Adam Chashuv, an important person. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, yeah, okay, Adam Chashuv, but according to this, the Mishnah is only speaking about like really important people. Maybe for the average Joe, that would be okay. And that goes in line with what Rabbeinu Yonah was saying initially, that our Mishnah is talking about levels of piety. It's not a halacha. You want to give advice how a person should set up his case, that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that seems to be okay. The issue is if he's an Adam Chashuv, if he's someone that he's famous, people look up to him as a Torah personality, then he has to take care. Yeah.
Let's try to understand how it works in a Beit Din, because what I'm familiar with, I kind of know how it works, but in America, you have the justice happen, you come, the decides like the plaintiff and the defendant, and the judge and the jury, they're listening, and based on what's brought to them, they'll make they're supposed to make the most just decision, but they don't ever look into things. They don't ever say, well, that sounds suspicious, I want to check this out more, bring me more evidence about what happened here. And so if somebody doesn't come, let's say somebody is, the defendant's innocent, but he doesn't come with a good case, then he could be declared guilty because he just didn't prepare well. He's not a lawyer, he doesn't, and justice isn't served. But it sounds to me like, I'm curious to know, because you're saying not to help somebody who's going before a Beit Din, because it could look bad, somebody well-versed, important person in halacha. Is that because the Beit Din does do that? They take on the role of tipping into all the matters and researching and
oh, they try. They definitely will ask.
So even if somebody came who was innocent and just wasn't good at speaking, wasn't really good at understanding halacha, still, he would be, and he didn't receive that help because of this mishnah. Like the Beit Din would make up for him not getting help because they would be the ones looking into justice. Both of them are considered guilty, and the Beit Din looks into it. Even though like the one who's really innocent isn't good at bringing evidence, they'd still uncover it.
That's the hope. That's what they try to do. If you want to see, we have over here in Jerusalem certain courts where you could actually sit and listen, and you'll see that when people come to the court, the judges will patiently ask, why do you think you're right? What do you think would be a fair solution to this problem? Think of that. The court actually asks each side, not only why do you think you're right, but where would you be willing to compromise? Where do you think we should rule? How do you think we can reach an equitable solution that you're both happy with? The court first approaches it with the thought, let's see if we can find a compromise that both sides will be happy. But the courts also try to understand each side, yeah, for sure.
What? So if, let's say they need...